Neos, and it means something that's new in age. We have a Neos baby, just born yesterday. The city of Philippi, the ruins of Philippi are slightly inland, and right on the coast, just a little south of Philippi, is right in the water, in the harbor, is a city that's called Neapolis. Well, Neos, new, polis, is city. So the city is called the new city, which is kind of hilarious to me because Neapolis is now, you know, thousands of years old, so it's hardly, it would be Oldopolis now, I guess. But the other word for new in Greek is the word kainos, and I'm sure you've heard this before. Neos is new in age, kainos is new in kind. Something that's kainos, something that's new, is unprecedented. It is a completely different new kind. It's a different kind of whatever it might be. You know, and there's all kinds of pictures we can draw of this or ways to think about this. Back in the day, we had horse-drawn carriages. And the carriage would just sit there until you hook up a horse and pull it. And then came along what was tagged the horseless carriage when the automobile, the self-mobilizing, was developed, the internal combustion engine and so on. So you can look at a horse-drawn carriage and you can look at a car and you can say, well, in essence, they do the same thing, and that is true to a degree, but the car is kainos. It is self-empowering. The internal combustion engine is unprecedented in terms of how automobiles were driven. If any of you are mechanical engineers, do not take me to task on my errors of engineering. But there's all kinds of illustrations of this, of things that are completely different. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new, a kainos creature. Old things passed away. Behold, kainos, new things have come. Now, just a little quick background. This little phrase, in Christ, is one of the Apostle Paul's favorite sayings. It's one of his favorite theological themes and realities. The phrase in Christ occurs 86 times in the letters of the Apostle Paul. And similar to that, in him, in Christ, over and over and over. And this is what Paul drives at over and over and over. It means to belong to Christ. To be in Christ means we have entered into a kainos kind of life. It is unprecedented in human life, in human experience. You know, even in the Old Testament, though the Holy Spirit moved and worked amongst the people, when Christ came and lived and died and rose again, and then when the Holy Spirit came and, in fact, breathed into us, the Holy Spirit breathes into us a kainos kind of life. It is new. It is different. The old things, Paul says, are finished and done. They have become obsolete. So the life of the religious person, the life of the person who works really hard to live according to the law and to be a good person, and you know, the faulty assumption that if I'm good enough, God will accept me into heaven. That theology is obsolete. The kainos reality, the new reality of being in Christ, is we realize we do not have to, and in fact we cannot, ever be good enough to impress God. It is impossible. And so in Christ, we have breathed into us by the Holy Spirit what the Scripture describes as the indestructible life of Christ. So that we who have the Spirit of God, we who are in Christ, have the absolute assurance that even though this microphone breaks, even though this corpus, this physical body, will one day give up and stop functioning, in me, in each follower of Christ, is the eternal, indestructible life of Christ. It is a kainos kind of life. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. a couple of scriptures just to, if you want to look at another two other places where kainos is used, Ephesians 4:22. See if I can get there quickly. And again, you know, more of the writings of Paul, Ephesians 4:22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This is one of the images in Scripture that when we come to Christ, we lay aside our old garments, because self-righteousness Scripture views as being like filthy, dirty rags. And we lay those aside. Part of what happened with Jesus on the cross is he took on himself our garments, our filthy, self-righteous garments. Jesus took that on, and he gives to us his robe of righteousness. It's a great exchange. And so in Christ, that's, we lay it all aside, and we come to Christ, and we say, I want to do it your new way, your kainos way. In Revelation chapter 5, some of the great worship scenes in Revelation, Revelation 5, 9. We'll back up verse 8, Revelation 5, 8. When he'd taken the book, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals, for you were slain, purchased for God with your blood, people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. They sang to him a new song. This is a new kind of song. You know, it may have notes that are similar to other music, but it's a new kind of song because it's Spirit-inspired, it's Spirit-filled, and the purpose, the focus, the intent of this new kind of song is to bring glory and honor to Christ. It's a new way of doing things. It's just simply qualitatively, categorically different. You can jump off a cliff with wings glued on your arms and try to fly, or you can get in an airplane and you can let the power of the airplane take you. This is our new life in Christ. Old things are gone, new things have come. Just this morning I was flipping through Facebook and someone posted a quotation from Toby Mac. Now I had to look up who Toby Mac is, right? Country Western singer or something like that? Okay, no? He's a singer. He's a Christian musical artist. Okay, you learn something every day. Toby Mac said this, our hope is not in the new year, but in the one who makes all things new. And that's it. Our hope, our life, is in the Lord God, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all things kainos. And so as we enter into this first day of the new year, we celebrate that this is what God has given us in Christ.
In the spirit of what Mark just shared with us, we're going to do something very old. But it is a reminder of why we have a hope of things that are new to come, and that hope is in Jesus. So if you will stand and join me, let's all recite the Nicene Creed, the statement of our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He who spoke by the prophets, we believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated and join me now in a time of corporate prayer. I will lead us in this time of prayer, and then I will have a silent time where I will invite you to pray silently or to pray out loud as you're led as we go through these sections of prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for one another and for all the churches of Corvallis and for the believers throughout the world. Lord, we pray specifically. We pray for the leaders of Corvallis. We pray for the leaders of Oregon, for the leaders of our United States, and for the leaders of our world. Grant them wisdom. Grant them courage and humility. Lord, we pray for all the peoples of the world and for your creation. Bring oppression and injustice to a swift end, and may your peace rain down upon us. Lord, we pray for our own concerns and our burdens. We thank you for bearing them along with us. Lord, we pray for those who suffer from illness, loneliness, anxiety, or despair. Lord, we ask for your healing. Seems fitting, Lord, we should pray for our pastor, Zach, today. Give him healing and his whole family. And Lord, there are many among us who are sick. So we do ask, Lord, for your hand, your powerful hand. Bring your healing, that you would be glorified. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings of this life, and especially for the privilege of coming before you in prayer. This we pray in your holy, holy name, O Jesus. Amen.
You who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and may your humble make your humble confession to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, make of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous to us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve and please you in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comforting words our Savior Christ says to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear also what St. Paul says. This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to our Lord God. It is very good, right, and our great duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. Amen. All glory be to you, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that you, of your tender mercy, did give your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and did institute in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of your dearly beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we, your humble servants, do celebrate here before your divine majesty with these your holy gifts, which we now offer to you, the memorial your Son has commanded us to make, remembering his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering to you most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured to us by the same. And we most humbly beseech you, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of your almighty goodness to bless and sanctify with your word and Holy Spirit these your gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we receive them according to your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of the most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire your fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching you to grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all your whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present to you, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, our bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice to you, humbly beseeching you that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with your grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. And although we are unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer to you any sacrifice, yet we beseech you to accept this our great duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be to you, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And those who will receive the communion, let us recite together. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, that our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you,